Good morning. I'm so happy to be here this morning. I want to thank Pastor Scott for asking me to come and sing for this anniversary Sunday. My name is Lydia Gott, and I'm going to share a few songs with you. The first one is one that I have been singing probably for 20 years. It's a psalm that I heard from a music group. And I always thought it was beautiful, so I hope that you're blessed this morning as I sing this song. It's called Create in Me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength, teach me your song, shelter me in the shadow of your wings. For we righteousness, and if we die to ourselves and live through your death, then we shall be born again to be blessed in your love.
Well, good morning, everyone, and happy anniversary, Second Baptist Church. What a special day today is. Gosh, we just got to hear a beautiful snippet of what we're going to hear for the rest of the worship service. Lydia Gott, what an honor it is to have you here today. She is an artist, a songwriter, and a studio singer who has worked in Nashville and Los Angeles since 1994. She was a featured worship leader at the Saddleback Church for several different worship services, and she's worked for several record companies. Lydia has a passion for leading people into the presence of God through song and using her gifts to bring glory to Christ, and we are honored to have you here today. Thank you so much. Guys, we're just honored to have you all join us for worship here in the sanctuary and online, wherever you are, to celebrate our 62nd anniversary. I invite you sometime this week to take a look at the anniversary video that we put together. Thank you to those of you who sent in pictures and videos and memories to celebrate this anniversary together. Mike Spann did a beautiful job of putting the video together, and I know you're going to want to go and watch it. So take a few minutes, get some popcorn, and watch the video. It's about 18 minutes long, and I know you're going to enjoy every minute of it. Even if you weren't here for all 62, I loved every bit of it. I hope that something today that we say or we do is a blessing to you. Take a moment with us now. Take a deep breath and let's turn our hearts and our minds to worship. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
We gather, looking back to see the paths taken.
Looking forward to see our path ahead.
We honor those who have gone before us,
learning from their successes and failures.
We celebrate who we are today
and welcome the possibilities and opportunities before us.
We gather to worship God,
the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Invite you in spirit or in structure to stand and continue to worship.
Thank you.
Would you pray with me, please? Dear God, you are the great and wonderful God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Lord, we give you all praise and honor and glory, for yours is the kingdom. All we have is because of you. All we will be is because of you. And Lord, we're grateful for that. Thank you for your presence, for your love. But most of all, dear Lord, thank you for Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.
Okay, boys and girls, it's time for children's time. So I'm glad to get to talk to all of you at home, probably still in your pajamas, and that is just fantastic. I hope you guys are having a great morning, and I hope you had the best week back to school, however you went back to school. I'm excited for your second week to start tomorrow. Okay, I want to quiz some of y'all right now. If I said, who is Helen Parr, would any of you know who it is? I wonder if anyone in here knows who Helen Parr is. My guess is some of the kids out there have already shouted that Helen Parr is Elastigirl from The Incredibles, right? If I said, I bet some of y'all here know who Tony Stark is, right? Tony Stark at home, they're all shouting at the screen. Of course, it's Iron Man. Okay, does anybody know who Fa Ping is? Fa Ping, she's pretty cool. She is Mulan, right? And this is an easy one. I'll give you an easy one for those of you here. Does everybody know who Bruce Wayne is? I hope so. I hope everybody just screamed at me that that was Batman through your masks. Well, I'm wondering, I was thinking about our children's time today, and I thought, how in the world do you guys know who these people are? How do you know their names and what move? There's a million more. There's a million superheroes and a million, like, stars in all these comics, right? And my boys know who all of they are. I had to look up some of these names, to be truthfully with y'all. But you guys know who they are because you study them, right? You watch their movies, you read the comics, you read about them on YouTube, or I guess you watch about them on YouTube, right? You know about them because y'all talk about them and you go to their movies. It was kind of making me think about our scripture reading for today. In our scripture, Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's saying, hey, who am I? Who do people say that I am? And they start saying, well, some say you're John the Baptist, and others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets, but you are the Son of God, right? They're saying you are the Messiah, you are the Son of God. And I think that they know this because they've followed Jesus. They've been with him. They studied about him. They know this Messiah. They've studied him just like you have studied these superheroes in these comics that you've been reading about. And the only way that people are going to know about our Jesus that we worship and that we praise and that we love is if we study and we listen to these scriptures and we listen to our Sunday school teachers and we listen to Pastor Jake during his sermon, right? And then we share that information just like you do about these movies that you go to see and these really cool superheroes. So in order for us to spread the word, we've got to talk about it. And we've got to share what we know about this really cool Jesus that we love and that we worship. And I hope that sometimes, maybe you have your backpack tag that you got last week at Backpack Blessing and it's on your backpack and somebody says, "Ooh, that's a really cool tag. Where'd you get it?" And you might say, "I got that at my church where I learn about Jesus. Maybe you should come with me sometime." That's an easy, easy way to share what you know about your Jesus. And I hope that you will have the confidence and the pride to do that sometime when somebody asks you about it. Will you guys pray with me? Lord, we thank you so much for sharing your love with us. Help us to have the confidence and the courage to share that love and that knowledge with those we come in contact with. Lord, you're just too awesome and too great to keep it to ourselves, and we want to share that with everyone. Watch over these families and these children and help them to feel your love and your presence. Amen.
I invite you to receive, to listen, and to even pray these words from Scripture, from Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Good and gracious God, hear our prayer. Amen. Thank you.
Today's reading of the gospel comes from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 16. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." He asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Good morning again. I want to thank Chris and Brock for playing with me. It's such a joy to play with them. This is a song that I wrote a long time ago, but it's just about celebrating the day that we have in the Lord. It's called New Day. Well, it's a new day. Oh, it's a new time, and there's a new way. I'm gonna live my life, for all the old has passed away, and the new has come. Thank God, it's a brand new day. Looking back on yesterday, there are things that I regret, and I'll put the past behind me. I never will forget you. I've covered my mistakes and my broken dreams. Now over the horizon, see the dawn is drawing near, and I realize the sun did rise. Tomorrow's finally here, and it's a new day. It's a new time, and there's a new way. I'm gonna live my life, for all the old has passed away, and the new has come. Thank God, it's a brand new day. And now when I wake up thinking about the things I've done before, memories I could not escape, they can't haunt me anymore. Now I will hold my head up high. I am not the same. You've changed my whole perspective, and with new eyes I see. I've become a new creation because of what you've done for me. It's a new day. Yeah, it's a new time, and there's a new way. I'm gonna live my life, for all the old has passed away, and the new has come. Thank God, it's a brand new day. Because of what you've done for me, no, I am not ashamed. This heart of mine is finally free. I will never be the same. new day. Yeah, it's a new time and there's a new way. I'm gonna live my life. The old has passed away and the new has come. Thank God it's a brand new day. Thank God it's a brand new day. Thank God it's a brand new day.
I suppose it's like that when you're sure of the presence of the divine, you're not sure whether or not to stand up and raise your hands towards heaven or just bend your knees and weep. But this is what it's like to worship. Thank you very much. Both of those things are true at the same time. Lectio Divina is the name of the spiritual practice that we've done together this morning as we're reading Scripture. Lectio Divina. Can you say that? Lectio Divina. Oh, you know Latin. Oh, great. Well, you'll make this whole thing easy. It's an ancient spiritual practice, and I find it to be terribly meaningful in my personal devotions. It's awful for television, right? So television, you don't want any dead time, you don't want any silence, and that's exactly what we've done this morning because we're not here for ratings, right? We're here for worship. Lectio Divina translates into divine word. Okay. Now, in a previous church and in a previous state, I won't say who or where, someone wanted to, let's say, correct me on how to say this Latin phrase. Don't you love it when Christians go out of their way to correct you? That's where you say amen. And I confess that you know all too well now that my spiritual gift is, in fact, sarcasm. And it's a burden that I bear to be smug on occasion. And it was difficult in this moment to hold my spiritual gift at bay. Lectio Divina is the way I was told to pronounce this. Lectio is the proper pronunciation. And you and I both know the difference. You and I both know the difference when someone is truly trying to help and when someone is truly trying to say, I'm smarter than you, which is something I get a lot. Lectio Divina, I was told. Now, what I wanted to say was, oh, it's Lectio, not Lectio? Oh my goodness, I feel so awful for all these people. What a terrible error. They're so far apart. Lectio, not Lectio. Okay. What I should have said was, oh, well, God bless their little hearts. God bless your heart. What I did say when I was told it's Lectio, not Lectio, what I did say was, do you know that Latin is a dead language? And that didn't go over very well. You see, you say potato, I say potato, yeah. You say Texas, I say Tejas. You say Allison, I say angel. Aw. You say Jesus, I say Jesus too. That's the same. Reading small portions of Scripture slowly, three times with room to listen, is an ancient Christian practice known as Lectio Divina. And the point is to hear, to feel, to experience the divine word flowing through Scriptures, to get beyond our mind. Lectio is like a river. And at the bed of a river, beside a river, you may notice the blue of the color. You may notice the whoosh of the rapids. You may notice the paddle boarders skimming across the surface. Lectio Divina is to notice what you're noticing and to let the flow of God's voice present in Scripture to wash over you and give you peace. This is how we get beyond the details. This is how we get down deep into ourselves. Now a new king arose over Egypt, and did not know Joseph. If you didn't hear the voice of God, of all goodness and grace, in this strange scripture, in this strange practicing of Lectio Divina, then let me encourage you. It may not be the most spiritually of sounding scriptures. However, I think together, maybe we'll hear the voice together. But first, I'd like to wish Second Baptist Church a happy anniversary, a happy birthday, belated. See, this week I spent some time in the historical records of our church. And don't be jealous of such a sexy sentence, having to spend time in the historical records of a Baptist church. And I learned that really it is the third Sunday in August, closest to our anniversary. It was August 17th, 1958, in which, let's see if I get it right, the Elgin Avenue Baptist Chapel of First Baptist Church of Lubbock. Great branding, my friends and brothers and sisters who were there. That just rolls off the tongue now, doesn't it? The Elgin Avenue Baptist Chapel of the First Baptist Church of Lubbock. It was that first Sunday, August 17th, that we celebrated the first Sunday as a congregation. And here we are, not on the third Sunday, here we are on the fourth Sunday, as we have been for years. My grandparents, particularly my grandfathers, maternal and paternal, are two of my heroes in life. 2 years ago, my maternal grandfather, after a long, slow, arduous battle, one that you know all too well, the long struggle with dementia and Alzheimer's, eventually our family was able to sigh in relief when he passed through the veil as we know it here and into complete peace. My grandfather, Grandpa, as we called him, Papa on the other side, my grandpa was a devoted Roman Catholic. He was an orphan. He bounced around from house to house as a young child, sometimes with family, sometimes in various systems. And at an early age, a story that many of you know as well, at an early age, he lied about his age in order to enter into the Navy and to serve our country as the Second Great War escalated. He went on later to become an engineer with General Motors, and he specialized in the body of the Corvette. It was 2 years ago that my family in December gathered in Detroit to lay his ashes beside his beloved bride. You see, after he got out of the Navy and as he was entering into the workforce, he met not quite a young lady, a wonderful woman who was a bit older than him. And see, he had already lied about his age once before to fool the federal government, so he just kept with the lied age to woo who would become my grandmother, his beloved, for over 60 years. And it was 2 years ago, as aunts and uncles and cards and drinks and stories were all flowing, we call that fellowship in the Baptist world, in the Roman Catholic world, they just call a spade what a spade is. And that evening, as we were just sharing stories, as families do and should in such a sacred time, someone unveiled a copy of the birth certificate as they had it on their side of the family. And another aunt or uncle unveiled a copy of the birth certificate that they had in their records, and the birth date was not the same date. You see, he had lied about his age and then lied about lying about his age. And it wasn't until we had placed his ashes in the ground that we learned really what his age was. And one of the greatest honors I have as a minister, as a pastor, is to gather with families as they celebrate, as they remember, as they grieve, as they prepare to experience life anew without a beloved in this world. And this story that I'm sharing to you about my family, learning about my grandfather's age, whatever it may be, this happens all the time. Now, it may not be as drastic as we didn't know his age. I was telling my friend this story, a friend I had spent lots of time with over the years, and he said, that's interesting. When my grandfather died, I learned that he wasn't my grandfather. And I said, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. He said, oh, it's just fine. He said, I actually like it. You see, because the person I know as my grandfather, I know that he loved me regardless of biology and regardless of DNA. He's still my grandfather. And this sort of thing happens all the time. Now, a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. 197 people came forward that first Sunday, August the 17th, 1958, to join the church. 197. 40 in 2 years of serving as your pastor have come forward, and most of them don't come forward. As you well know, they fill out a form online. 40 people in 2 years. Now, I don't know about you engineers or you artists or you business people. I don't know about you educators or salespersons, but ministers, pastors, preacher types love to compare, we'll just call it numbers, maybe egos if we were being honest. We love to compare numbers. And after 3 months of the Second Baptist Church finally receiving that name in November 1958, after 3 months, 500 people had joined the church. And here we are. Here we are celebrating on the wrong date and celebrating with not the same numbers. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Yeah. But I'd like to say to you, the late Reverend Bob Hearn, you never preached online, did you, my brother? You never did church in the parking lot in the middle of the summer in West Texas. These are all just details. These are all just details. I believe that what we have here in the beginning of Exodus is far deeper than details. The beginning of Exodus says that Joseph and all of his brothers, they bring along his father even, and they immigrate into a new country where they were before there was famine, and now they find themselves in a new land. And in this new land, they find work, they make food, they find prosperity, even as you well know, Joseph and others have influence in this new land. And if you're wondering which century and which country I'm talking about, in which all these new people come into the land and find it to be a fruitful place, yes, this is why Scripture is as important and valuable today as it always has been. Exodus 1 continues to say these new people who look a little bit different and who talk a little bit different continue to be prosperous in the land, and the ancestors die off and pass their legacy on to the next generation. And the first few verses there in Exodus say eventually a generation passes to another generation and a generation passes to another generation. And in verses 6 and 7 it says that the people continue to be prosperous, continue to be fruitful in this new land, suggesting that the passing on of these legacies, it's all just details. It's all going good for these people in this new land until verse 8, which we've read together today. And then a new king arose in Egypt who did not know Joseph, a new king who did not know the deeper story. And to make matters worse, like some preachers, this king didn't like some of the numbers. And so he used his influence. He used his influence to bear down upon the people who didn't look like him and who didn't talk like him in order to propagate other Egyptians. And so this king goes on, as the scripture tells us, this king goes on to Shiphrah and Puah, the Hebrew midwives. And this king tells the midwives to step in and to ensure that the Hebrew birth rate isn't as successful as it has been in the last few generations, which reminds us a whole lot of another king, King Herod, who sends out word among the Hebrew people, seeking among the successful birth rates, having heard word, having heard rumor, having seen a star over a certain city in Israel, Palestine, having heard rumor of a new king, King Herod sends out word. and it is King Herod in it, or it is King Pharaoh. It doesn't matter who. It's just a detail. The deeper story is that these persons of power sometimes will put their own interest above the interest of the greater story. What do you do? What do we do when culture and kings lose the story? What do you do when X or Y or Z is put in a position of power and it seems that the story in which you've invested your heart and in your soul and in your spirit and your sweat and your tears, what do you do when the greater story seems to fade against the facade of a new fad? What do you do when it seems when that which is lasting is replaced by that which is temporal? What do you do? Exodus says, you better call the midwife. Call the midwives. 600 years later, as the book of Exodus, as we know it, is being compiled in exile in Babylon. Again, the people are taken captive. They're enslaved. They're in a foreign land, held captive by an oppressive regime. And the people are wondering, how did we get here? And they begin to tell the story, not the story of Babylon, but 600 years later, they begin to tell the story, once we were enslaved in Egypt. Once we were enslaved in Egypt and there were these midwives who put aside their own well-being for the sake of the greater story, there were once people who sacrificed to bring forth new life. Shipra and Pua, great names. The scriptures, I think, are asking us, do we want to be kings or do we want to be midwives? Do we want to tell our story or do we want to tell the bigger, deeper story? Jesus says to his disciples, who do you say that I am? Jesus, who had just fed the multitude, Jesus, who had just walked on the waters, Jesus, who had just healed Sophia's daughter from a great distance, says to his disciples, his students, his friends, he says, I know all the yada, yada, yada details about what all the people have been saying about me. And Jesus says to his friends, but what story do you want to tell? What do you say? Yeah. Friends, there are details and there is the story that which is deeper. What story do you want to tell? And we can ask this question on a personal, a familial, and a communal level. It's a deep question. What story do you want to tell with your life? What story do you want to tell with your family? What story do we want to tell together? Yeah. You see, I think it's okay to fudge about your age a little bit. I think it's okay to celebrate a milestone on whatever date you want to celebrate a milestone on. I think it's okay if 500 people come forward, and I think it's okay if 5 people come forward. You see, the devil is in the details. But the story of God's faithfulness to save, the story of the Son of the living God, the story of the Spirit who is here with us now. Well, that's a divine story. That's a divine word. That's a Lectio Divina, no matter how you say it. Let's pray together. Tell your story, O God. Tell your story in our presence and let us worship and give thanks. Inspire us that we might live your story, that we might tell your story despite all the stories of kings and cultures. May we know your story, the story of love, the story of grace, the story of faithfulness, the story of deliverance. May we hold to these stories, these deeper stories always, and may the details fade. It is by your story that we are saved. In the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we pray together. Amen. As you're able to stand we invite you to stand in spirit or in stature, and we'll continue to worship together.
Let's pray together. Summer lingers, its baking breeze starching my yard and crisp, crunching brown under my feet. Sermons echo across sticky asphalt parking lots. The virus, wretched consumer of youth and graceful aging, seeking to corrupt my faith. In these times, these upside down, chaotic, frightening times, we are comforted by our belief that you are there. Before the 62 years, you were there. Before the times when only bank robbers, miners, trick-or-treaters, and surgeons wore masks, you were there. Before scientists, drunk with fatigue, were falling asleep over petri dishes, dreaming of vaccines and Nobel Prizes, you were there. You greet us unmasked, violating the 6-foot rule, sanitized by spirit, drawing us close to you. God, we come to you wrapped in 62 years of gratitude. Tend to our bruised faith. Dissipate doubt, rake aside our fears, and with fierce wonder, bind us to your word. May your breath of salvation bring relief to those short of breath. May your cooling reassurance diminish fevers. Guide us to the oasis of your promises. using our offerings to transform far-off dreams to present-day healings. For it's a new day. Amen.
I'd like to let all of you know that out in the foyer, after church is over, I do have some CDs available if you're interested in that. And also, I feel very honored and privileged to be able to sing with my father, Will Weathersby, this morning. And we're going to do a song called Beautiful Wounds, and it's a unique perspective on the crucifixion of Christ and how back then it was such a sad event, but because of what Jesus did for us in giving his life, that moment became beautiful. It's called Beautiful Wounds.
Lydia, what an honor to worship with you. If you'd stand, my friends, as you stand, what a joy, a true privilege it is to gather in the space and in the realms of the divine here and to worship with you. As you go this week, may the grace and the peace of Christ be with you, and to God be the glory. Amen.